so gloomy here today in the studio. Lighting a little better for you? Yeah, well, that's because I just realized that I should probably open my drapes. And I did. Oh, let the sun shine. Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender, a little Age of Aquarius there for all you New Agers out there. Now, I know there are no New Agers in my audience, thank God. Well, listen, if you are anywhere near Springfield, Missouri, or Indianapolis, Indiana, then have I got great news for you. It's happening. That's right. The meetings are happening, and they're happening soon. And I know this is going to be not much advance notice, but that's the way I roll these days. You make it or break it. You know, I'd like you to be there, but if you can't, that's okay. These are centrally located areas, so I expect the people to be rolling in by the hundreds. Not really. Maybe a dozen. Who knows? On Saturday, December the 12th, I will be in Springfield, Missouri, at the home of Javier. I had to check how to pronounce that to make sure I got it right. Javier and Robin Saltares. Now, there is no feature on the internet that helps me get the last name right. I'm assuming it's Saltares. And they are happy for anyone to come to this meeting at their home. They want you to come. They have built it and they expect you to come. The email address there is rsaltares@centurytel.net. That's rsaltares at centurytel, centurytel.net. Again, that is Saturday, December the 12th. This December, right now, yeah, a couple weeks from now, Springfield, Missouri. And the next Saturday, December the 19th, I'm going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. I know that's extremely close to Christmas, but what would you rather do? Go out and buy mistletoe or candy canes, or would you rather be at a meeting talking about the Word of God? This meeting is going to be on Saturday, December 19th. Not sure of the place there or the time. I'm guessing, if I have anything to say about it, and I probably do, the time is going to be around 1 p.m. on these subsequent ensuing and conglomerating Saturdays. Did you get all that? The contact for the Indianapolis meeting will be Andy May, and his web address, otherwise known as email address, is camay222@yahoo.com. C-A-M-A-Y. Did you get that? CAMAY222@yahoo.com. I hope to see you at these meetings. I will announce them this weekend in the ZWTF. Now, isn't it funny how the technology did not exist in 1938 when A.E. Nock wrote the book The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, on which I am basing my studies here throughout the Revelation series? But certainly, this technology did not exist when John, the Apostle John, heard this from God and wrote the testimony down. And he was not sitting there like many do today thinking, how could this possibly be? If he was, he was stroking his beard, but he didn't do that. I think it's too much lighting. I don't like, I'm going to go back to the dark, I think, tomorrow. This is just is much too happy looking for my taste. But anyway, John had no clue that there would be the advent of radio, let alone television. But he didn't care because he just flat out believed God. Don't forget the technology. So today we have those who say, well, how can God rebuild Babylon in so short a period of time? Or how can Jerusalem become a religious headquarters? The temple can't be rebuilt because. Ah, but what about the wonderful things God does? And God is going to do these things. So just pretend you are John back in 1-8 or the first century and you can't figure out how God's going to do all this. But you don't care, you just write it down. Okay, that was John's job. John wrote it down. Now I want you to believe it. You didn't write it down, but you just have to believe what he wrote down. He believed it even though he didn't have a clue how it could happen, especially back in 65, 70 AD, whatever year John wrote. So you just have to to believe these things. And along that line, listen to this quote, finishing up kind of on what I started yesterday with a television business. A.E. Nock writes, and I quote, "There is no reason why, within half an hour of their death, that is the death of the two witnesses, that every person of prominence on earth should not know of it and set about celebrating the event." I would add to that, not only personages of prominence, but everybody from the president to the person with pink Crocs at Walmart will be able to see, and in fact, all the televisions at Walmart in the back there in the digital media center will be watching this event. They will be watching at Walmart, I predict, on the rows and rows of television. Every television will be tuned to the two witnesses laying dead in the street. I'm quoting again now, "Newspapers are slow compared with this new plan of disseminating news." A new plan. I gotta like that. A new plan to A.E. Nock in 1930, whatever. It was a new plan, but now it's a huge reality. It's an old reality. We yawn at it. That's the problem. We yawn at the technology that has sprung up in the last 100 years. Like, yeah, we're gonna send a man to Mars now past the Cheetos. Oh man, we have totally missed the era we're living in because we're in it. The old frog boiling in the pot. I'm able to look at it by some great gift of God from the perspective nearly of John as he's writing beneath a palm tree, if you recall, on the island of Patmos. I think it's fantastic. Now, it seems that I'm going to now transfer us into the realm of death. Fortunately, we only have to sit here as spectators and anticipate the death of the two witnesses. But it will seem that their whole career, it will seem to the world watching at Walmart, that the entire career of the two witnesses is a failure because death intervened. And many people see that now. They see if something bad happens to you, then your testimony is shot, it's crap. And if good things keep happening to you, like Joyce Meyer, who I wrote about last week, if you have a new Gulfstream, and I understand her jet has been upgraded. She had a Canadair, something or other. Now she has a Gulfstream. So she's upgraded. Joyce Meyer has the famous Pentecostal minister. Name it, claim it. You're God's kiddies. Get anything they want. God's the big sugar daddy in the sky. She has now coaxed the sugar daddy, capital S, capital D, to give her a Gulfstream. And so this is crowning proof to the world that these people, to most of the world, are in God's favor when good things happen to you. Joel Osteen, every day's a Friday. Well, if you're in a good mood, if you're happy, if you have things, if everything's going well for you, surely the favor of God rests upon you. But if you are stricken, if you are without a home, if you've lost your job, if you find yourself out of money, you can't pay your bills, you're sick, your wife has gotten sick, the world looks at you, and especially if you hold this testimony, oh God, well, they're getting back the retribution of their teaching. But I tell you that it is just the opposite. These days, it's just the opposite. For our Lord's career was ended by death. The career of Stephen was ended by death. The career of Paul was ended by death. Not natural deaths, these. Not natural deaths. Stephen stoned, our Lord crucified, Paul beheaded. Every man and woman of God of any worth, of any salt whatsoever, they have been killed. They have been killed violently by those who envy them or who are jealous of them or who just plain hate them. But really, jealousy, I believe, is the root, is the ground floor of hate. Hate and jealousy go hand in hand. Certainly not love. Anyway, when their death, this is what God does. When the death of the two witnesses was utterly undeniable, in other words, the world was putting everything on this death. They're broadcasting it. So it's not like this thing was done in a corner. So they're certainly not anticipating any sort of resurrection. Why would they if they anticipated the resurrection that occurs here after 3.5 days? But they make the huge mistake of broadcasting it. They're broadcasting it on CNN, on Fox, on any other program, which I can't name any other programs because I never watch television. I'm a YouTube guy. Whenever I need the entertainment offered to us by the Jews in control of the media, I go to YouTube and I pick and choose my poison. You know, that way I don't have to be inundated with it. Anyway, so they make the mistake of broadcasting it, and their resurrection also will be broadcast. It's not only open to public gaze, as the local urchins and morons and ruffians of Jerusalem watch them literally stand by. They probably have them cordoned off. You thought I was going to say with police tape, but I don't think so. I think that the bodies of the two witnesses will be cordoned off, not with police tape, because that would mark the scene of a crime. I say they will be cordoned off with velvet rope, much like they cordon off the Mona Lisa or the Hope Diamond, because this will be a great thing. It will be an event of monumental proportions. And so, unfortunately for them, the resurrection of the two witnesses will be just as public as their murder and as their death. And this is where God holds the trump card every time. God alone can bring life from dead ones. And here it is. And after the 3 days and a half, the spirit of life, I mean, the unveiling, chapter 11, verse 13. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life out of God entered into them, and they stand on their feet, and great fear falls on those beholding them. And the question now to be asked is, who was beholding them? Who was beholding them? Those who had killed them, and those who were making merry, giving presents to one another, namely, those out of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations who were observing their corpses. These are the same ones who behold them. So while the cameras are running, and I know many people are making fun of me now for being a literalist, as they always do. That's okay. That's okay. They made fun of the people who said that the Messiah was literally going to be born in Bethlehem just because the scriptures, Micah, said he would be born in Bethlehem. I'll happily be with that group of lunatics, quote unquote. So the same people who watched their corpse are going to watch them raise from the dead. And this reminds me of another famous resurrection, although that one was done in a corner. I can't wait to talk more about that, but I'll do that tomorrow. God holds every card. Who is the one who cut off their testimony after 1,260 days? God. Who is the one who made sure, yes, I said made sure, that they lay dead in the streets for 3.5 days? God. And who is the one who really does the same thing to you? He makes your testimony so that it seems like it's dead end. He makes your life so that it seems like it's dead end. He holds you up to public ridicule, and you think, and everybody thinks, that, wow, I must not have any favor with God. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite, because wait until you see what God is going to do with you next.